Well, happy Sunday morning. Thank you again for being here. I appreciate it so very much. My wife sends her love and greeting. She's home. She's been under the weather, and so we pray for her. I know she's probably joining us online. We are just back from Guatemala for 8 days. Had an awesome time. Mark and Robin Sewell, who are members here, and who live in Guatemala about half the time or more, have such a wonderful work there. We've been able to go down several times. Many of you have been down there a number of times as well. I can't say enough good things about what they're doing and how much God is using them. I'm just always so impressed. We had a wonderful time, and we were able to minister in several churches. And I was able to take greetings from you and share those greetings with them. Now, we're not going to be able to get a greeting from all of them, but I got a couple of groups that I remembered to get a little video that want to share their greetings with you. As a matter of fact, last Sunday night, we could go tonight, we were in one of the more primitive places, way up in the mountains, about an hour and 15 minutes out of Jalapa, dirt roads, pothole-filled roads, a really bumpy ride, and way up in the mountains by, you saw a lot of coffee plantations and so forth, really cool. But there's a church up there, Zoar, Z-O-A-R, Assembly of God, and we were so touched and amazed by that precious congregation. In some ways, it was like stepping back in time, but the same Spirit that we enjoy here, that the early church enjoyed, was present there. And they want to drop a greeting with you. This is that little congregation. As I was sharing greetings from Grace House, they're saying greetings to you. Amen. Isn't that sweet? And then on Saturday morning, we were with a group of pastors. I don't have a video of all of them, but here are some of them. They also wanted to say hello to you guys. And thank you for being part of helping them have a pastor's conference. We were able to minister to them, pray over them, and prophesy over them. Just had a great time in the Lord. And Mickey and I also had the occasion to meet with a pastor and his wife. That pastor was in a time of restoration. They really had gone through a rough patch in a real anchor church there in Jalapa. And we've been able to meet with them a time or two before. They are doing wonderfully well. She was able to share with us, by the way, that the first time that I ministered in their church, she had been struggling with a chronic back issue for years. She had received all type of medical treatment and was undergoing therapy for a number of months with no relief from her pain. And in the service that day, she said the Lord just healed her. She just had no more pain since, and that had been like 2 years ago. Completely, she had never had the opportunity to share that, but it was wonderful to hear of how God had touched her and healed her. But so, just to see God's love and His restoration operating, and the church rallying around that couple and walking with them, it's just a beautiful sight. And we were able to minister to several pastors and their spouses, and it was just a joy to be able to minister to a number of congregations. It was really a joy. And so as a result of being there, and by the way, I apologize for my voice. I've had some battles with that the last few days as well. But I do have something I feel like the Lord wants me to share with Grace House this morning concerning the trip that I'm just back from, because I really prayed about where we went, what we did. Okay, Lord, I know that I came and released some deposits, but I believe there's something I'm to bring back to share with all of you. And so I'm going to go over some of that this morning. I can't share everything that happened, of course, but these are some areas that I believe the Lord is speaking to us about this morning. And the scripture I want to use is found in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, his first letter to the Thessalonians. At the end of chapter 2, he says, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, Paul had established this work on his missionary journeys, and he was now on more ministry, but he wanted to go back. Notice what he says. We're separated from you for a short presence, not in heart. We endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. That word desire there, it has an expression of intensity with it. You know, great desire. It's like one fueled and by the Lord. He says, therefore, we wanted to come to you. Again, an intense verb there. Even I, Paul, time and time again. But, well, Paul, why didn't you go? Paul, you had a desire. And the expression of these verbs is are passive, like God was moving on him, stirring him to be able to do this. He wanted to do it. Felt like he's supposed to do it. Still waiting to do it. But why not? He said, but Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. Now, we can at times make too much about the devil. And I've taught you a number of times, the devil always wants to be magnified. But more than that, he wants to be ignored. He wants to be ignored. He wants you to think he's non-existent. And that's often the route people will take. Oh, that's nonsense. That's before the age of reason came, where we understand why things are the way they are. No, let me tell you, man's lost his reason when he leaves the spiritual element out of his life. Paul said here he had an intense desire fueled from the Lord to be able to go back and reconnect with the Thessalonians. There were things he wanted to personally impart to them. The letter contained some of those areas. Some false teachers had come in and told them the Lord had already come and they had missed out on the resurrection and a bunch of other stuff. He said, I'm wanting to get back to you, but Satan has hindered us. How many times? He said, time and time again. Like more than once. Satan had wrought circumstances that hindered Paul from being able to go and do what he felt the Lord leading him to do. If that was true then, I know it's certainly true now as well. In the book of Daniel, when God had released a revelation for Daniel to receive, Daniel tells us, or Daniel reports to us, an angel finally came. Daniel got his revelation, and the angel basically says, I was delayed by the prince of Persia. There was a cosmic battle, if you will, a battle in the realm of the spirit between the forces of Satan and the forces of God. And finally, the revelation came through to Daniel. Now, I'll quickly tell you, I don't understand all there is to know about that. But the Bible gives us some insights. Number one, it is a reality. Number two, the enemy can hinder us. Number three, there's something we can do about it. And Paul teaches us a lot about that. Even when God led Egypt, Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land, he said, I'm giving you the promised land. But when they entered, what did they have to do? They had to war. They would have never won a war had God not given them the land. He said, I've given them into your hand. Into whose hand? The hands of the Israelites. In other words, they had to put their hands to war, but God assured them of victory. So in like manner, there are times in our life, and I feel like as I've prayed about this season that we've been going through these past months, you know, God really spoke clearly about a wall of fire. And we had a special meeting. We prayed for a wall of fire out of the book of Zechariah. I'm a wall of fire around you and my glory is within. And we came and we declared that and stood on that. And I believe that was very important for us to do. Something else that has been happening, and I can't go too much into this, I've shared with you upon my return from Grenada about a word the Lord gave me on June the 12th on the patio behind my house. And it was a long word. It was very specific and intense for me. And it began with, I'm sending you to the nations. And it was followed by a number of things the Lord said he was going to do. And I'd asked him, Lord, you know, I trust you, I don't trust me, can I have some signs? And he told me three things. And those things all culminated on that trip to Grenada. One of the things I remind you that was happening is that the celebration of their 50th year of independence. On the very day, it was the very day while I was there. That was not planned, but it just happened while I was, not planned by me anyway. It was the 50th day of their independence. And I won't go, if you were here, then you know about the other signs, but the 50th. And when I come back here, Brother Sean comes up to me, not knowing any of this, and the Lord had said to him to give me a 50-cent piece. It had a date on it. And the date was the year I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very significant with some of the things the Lord had told me. And then, now I go to Guatemala. Okay, the next nation the Lord opened the door to, and I felt I was supposed to go. And on the first day there, we landed in Guatemala City. We made our way to Shayla. And then the following morning, we went to meet with Pastor Mariano of Almalanga, Guatemala. Some of you are familiar with him. I know Pastor Doc years ago had him when he was pastoring at Christ Chapel. Almalanga is where the great transformation took place, where the ground was actually blessed of God and the vegetables began to grow bigger and a lot of other things. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment, so I'll park that. But we go and meet with Pastor Mariano on that Tuesday morning and had the opportunity to meet with him, Mark and Robin, Mickey and I, and Pastor Eric, who's pastors there in Shayla, ministered in his church on Wednesday night, and he translated for us. And so I got to ask him questions and hear some of the stories. And the Lord really used that time. He began by saying, this is what one of the first things he says. He said, it is now 50 years since the transformation began. And when he said that, I didn't know that. So 50, 50, 50. Last night we were there in the church that just waved at you. I had a message prepared that I thought was the message. When I get in the service, the Lord says, no, you're going to preach tonight that I'm the healer of the broken heart, and you're going to use Luke chapter 4. And I read the passage out of Luke 4 where Jesus opened the scroll of Isaiah 61. I had no idea during the service they had different people getting up and reading scriptures, and I didn't know any of it because it was all in Spanish and I didn't have anybody translating for me. They had gotten up and read Isaiah 61. And that's all about the year, the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke 4, Isaiah 61, preached the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's Jubilee. And we saw a lot of deliverances Sunday night. They had to clean the altar up afterwards because people were just, it was just very, very powerful. What happened in that service. So, I know I'm not, haven't got a lot of volume behind my voice, but no, inside I do. Okay. I feel like that we're on the precipice of breaking into just what Vicki said here, that we're going to start seeing a proliferation of breakthrough in miracles and all types of miracles, healings, and deliverances. And it's going to require a lot out of us. And it'll make sense as we go through this. Let me jump in this. The first thing I want to share with you about the trip was I came away reminded and impressed about the deep passion for the Lord I saw in every place we ministered. I mean, among the people, they just really carried a passion and hunger for God. The worship, very high energy, going after the Lord, putting everything they had into it. It reminded me of several Sundays ago when the Lord said, I want to bridge the gap between the platform and the audience. And and that's, I've been encouraging, let's just do that. So it'll be like just solid. So there's no gap from here to here as the worship team leads us. And it's more than just bodies up here. It means all of our hearts connecting and praising the Lord. But I saw that. These people just pouring out everything they had in worship. And in the worship, people just weeping. And when I'm preaching, I would look at it, it's just amazing. People be, you know, and it's being translated, just weeping. In the ministry time, people coming up. And you lay hands and start praying and just start weeping. I mean, scores and scores of people just broken, just weeping. Just the Spirit of God, the hunger for God. Jesus said, blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So they had such a deep passion for the Lord. I took this photo after the service. Almost everybody's gone, but you can see this is the church where Pastor Eric, who's been there for 6 years in this city, he started a congregation and have a bunch of young people and worship team. But I was just so impressed by the passion and the energy in the room, the zeal they had for the Lord. And I mentioned some of this, I think, last week, but we've got to get to the point where we can't show up at church as consumers saying, entertain me and impress me. You know, show me what you got. Listen, Jesus Christ shows us 24/7 what He's got. And when we show up here, we're supposed to bring something with us and show Him what we have we want to give Him. That's our worship. That's our worship. That's our worship. So Lord, ignite in us a fervency, a passion, a fire, a zeal for the Lord. When Jesus went into the temple, on those occasions He cleansed the temple, the Bible says He was driven by the zeal of the Lord. And at the heart of it was, it's not supposed to be like this. Get all that stuff out of here. My Father's house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. See, His heart burned. There's nations out there lost without Christ. And His heart burned for His Father's house to be a place where the fire of God burned in us. That when we leave, we carry that torch everywhere we go. Until every soul that's never heard has heard about Him. Oh, God, forgive us for demanding that the church bow to our knees and worship us. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Bought and paid for us with His own blood. He is the head of the church. He is worthy. Lord, restore our passion. The next thing that I was moved by and challenged by was the fruit and labor of transformation. Now notice the order there. I didn't say the labor and fruit. But the fruit and labor of transformation. The Lord brings about the transformation. And when that starts happening, it requires a lot out of His people. Pastor Mariano in Almalunga, it began in 1974. After he said 50 years, I went back and I looked this up. 1974. And the city had about 18,000 to 20,000 people. Crime ridden, drunkenness, all kinds of witchcraft, idolatry. The jails were full. There were four of them. They were all full and overflowing. There were 36 large bars in the area. It's just rampant sin, idolatry, witchcraft, and poverty. They were told the soil was so arid and acidic that it could not grow crops. And the research says that in that day, that every month, they were able to produce 4 truckloads of vegetables. In other words, average 1 truckload a week. All right? Pastor Mariano ran point on this transformation. Everybody pretty much agrees with that. He told me, I asked him about it. He said, when it first started, the evangelical churches, of course, they were all persecuted by, honestly, the Catholics and then all the idolatry and stuff that was going on. The evangelicals were persecuted. And he said, most of our preachers just preach to offend people, tell them what's wrong with them, and, you know, really harsh that way. He said, but the Lord led me to do something a different way. I started telling the people that God loved them. I started telling the people that God would forgive them, that God wanted to be with them and work in their lives. And they started responding to that. He said, all of a sudden, we started seeing people converted. We started seeing some of the people leave the witch doctors and come to us. And he said, before long, we had a baptism and there were 600 people baptized. And then it really took off after that. More people started being saved. He said the Catholic Church had been feeding a lot of people, and those people would go to the Catholic Church, and now they're being told, no, now you go over there and let that pastor feed you. He said people came to my house screaming and shouting, saying, you've got to help feed us. He said, I got everybody together, and I prayed. We started praying. He said that one, at the end of that 1 week, they were able to have 10 truckloads of vegetables. Where before they would have 4 a month, at the end of that week, they gathered 10 truckloads of vegetables. Not long after that, there were 20. Not long after that, 30. Then 40. And he shared with us last week, he said, that now, every day, they have 50 to 60 big truckloads of vegetables hauled out of that city. When this transformation began happening, because of the prayer, the intercession, and really sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ fueled with the love of God, it started changing things. And Pastor Mariano was, his church were, they were persecuted and attacked, but growing right in the middle of this. Growing. I'm going to show you some, examples of the, that, by the way, that's Pastor Mariano and Mickey and me. And we went down through the market and, just everywhere. They are exporting vegetables. The largest exporter in Central America, they're exporting them to the nations. That's just one little bundle of cucumbers. But this, you'll see the marketplace, and we got there, a lot of them shops had already closed when we were walking through. But it's just amazing at the vegetables. Carrots, you could hold one here, and it would go down to here. If you were a rabbit, you'd be in rabbit heaven down there. It was amazing. See the lady with the carrot? She found out we were pastors. She wanted us to pray for her. So was able to pray with her. And then she gave us a big bag of carrots. I would have tried to bring them home, but I'd gone over on luggage, you know. But it's amazing. Sweet people. You can see even we're told there that fish started coming back into the streams, the rivers. The animals came back into the woods that were gone. The fields became fertile. It's just absolutely amazing. This continues. And here is a few pictures of the fields, the crops. They have 3 fully laden abundant harvests a year. And those fields are filled with workers. This is all pretty much done by hand. Just amazing. That's a lot of cabbage right there. I'm sorry I put the wrong video in. If you just want to do this. But you can still see a little bit. Those of you online, I apologize too. But that's a lot of, this is a river where they wash the carrots. This might remind you you'd want to wash them too once they arrive at your house. See there? Isn't that something? Day in, day out. Before the transformation, they had difficulty getting people to work because they would work, and there wasn't much produce for their labor. But now, they are abundantly blessed. There's plenty of work for everybody. I mean, it's just amazing. So the fruit and labor of transformation. And in the spiritual realm, when God starts moving in harvest, you remember at Brownsville Assembly of God, that revival at Brownsville, many of us were touched through what began at what was initiated there. And Pastor Kilpatrick, I've heard him talk about it, how it wore his church out. Day in, day out, unending revival. That finally, just wore people out. So I believe that we're going to see God moving powerfully in our region, and we need wisdom in the strategy. We need to pray what Jesus said to pray. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth workers into the harvest. Prayer precedes workers. You see, there's the fruit. When the fruit starts coming, that's when the labor really starts. And it's going to require a lot to see God accomplish what He desires to accomplish here. For them, it was vegetables, but also every area of their life was touched. So, let me talk a moment about the strength of a godly decree. Pastor Mariano said, there were three waves of oppression the enemy brought against him during this time. We're talking about to get it up, going, full-blown transformation. He said there were three waves that came against his people. He said the first was a wave of witchcraft. And he said we had to learn how to intercede and pray and bring down the strong men. And I've read that Maximum is the name of the spirit that they worship down there. And they had a lot of witchcraft, sorcery. He said that was the first wave, and they had to stand against that. There are people today, by the way, and just you think, well, that happens in foreign nations. Folks, there's all kind of witchcraft. There's all kind of witchcraft here in our region. Had to deal with it before. He said the first wave was witchcraft. The second wave, he said the prophets came in. He said, and a lot of the pastors weren't discerning. He said, but the Lord helped me discern. He said, a lot of them were just fortune tellers. And so they were wreaking havoc in some of the churches with the stuff they were bringing in. But said, we stepped in, we started dealing with it and praying. And he said, the glory of God became so strong in the city, they all just left. Said, that's what happened to the witchcraft. They just had to leave. The glory became so strong. That's when the fear of the Lord hits the house right there. He said the third wave was the Satanist. Then he told the story. He said that the Satanists got together and coordinated a convocation, an event. They met in Guatemala City. They all stayed in the same hotel. That was going to be day one. And then on day two, they were going to come to Almolonga. And day three, they would go home. So the Satanists started arriving. This went out over the media. The TV was talking about it, the radio station. They went out and interviewed the Satanists. Why are you here in Guatemala, you Satanists? We have come. We're going to convene in Almolonga and destroy the work of God there. And Pastor Mariano, and they said his last name, I can't say it. We're going to destroy that work. And so on day two, the news showed up, the cameras, the radio people in Almolonga, and they're coming up and they're asking Pastor Mariano, what are you going to do? Are you going to fight? Are y'all going to have weapons? They're coming. They're going to destroy what God's been doing here. And Pastor Mariano told them, said, they will never come here. And so they were supposed to arrive at 10 o'clock, and no one showed up. 11 o'clock. He said it was real intense. You could feel the chaos in the air. No Satanist showed up. 12, 1, 2, 3. They never showed up. Never showed up. He said they will not come, and they didn't come. Fast forward 8 months later, he says a man comes to his church there in Almalonga, comes in just weeping, and tells him, I'm the coordinator of that meeting of Satanists that we're going to come and destroy your work here. Said, this mountain's full of warriors. We could not come here. Said, you have too much authority. He said, we were in our hotel room. And we were going to get up the next morning and come to Almalonga. Every single one of us overslept. Basically became unconscious and could not move, could not wake up until it was too late in the day for us to go and make it back to leave and go home. There was too much authority and too much power. And he said, I was out in the street after this. I was walking in this church called Prince of Peace. And I preached at Prince of Peace Church in Jalapa, which is one of the sister churches, last Sunday. And he said, Prince of Peace Church, and said, two men came out where I was standing there cursing the church and took me into the altar. When I got the altar, I fell down and I couldn't get up. And I ended up staying there for 3 days. I got saved. I got delivered. I no longer serve Satan. I'm enrolled in a Bible college. And I'm now a preacher of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. When I heard that, I thought, I like to know how things work. I said, Pastor Mariano, now please help me understand. I believe all that. No problem. Amen. Now, did the Lord tell you that they couldn't come? Or did you make a declaration? How did you know? He said, I stood up and I declared, they will not come to Almalonga. We're in charge here. And he said, they couldn't come. But for him, it was just like, that did it. They couldn't come. You know why? He knew God was backing him up. You see, that just, I mean, I believe that, but it just reminded me. Bless God, we are who He says we are. And when He puts you somewhere, and He puts a word in your mouth, and you say it because He tells you to say it, He'll back it up. That's the strength of a godly decree. I'm not talking about some self-help, positive thinking, positive talk, blab and grab kind of thing. I'm talking about you've got a rhema word from God fresh out of heaven's oven. You've got to put your mitts on, get that thing out. And then you feed your heart on that. You speak that out your mouth. The government of God will stand sure. And they couldn't come to Guatemala. And you know what? They're still hauling those truckloads of that. God healed that land. The most productive area in all of Guatemala, all of Central America, that little valley that they said was too acidic to grow anything. Let me talk, by the way, there's Pastor Mariano. That's our little group there in the middle. You see Mark and Robin and Mickey and me and Pastor Mariano. I want to talk a moment about the blind side of being blessed. Before I left, I said, Pastor Mariano, okay, there's been a whole generation here now in transformation. How's this affecting this generation that's, being born into this? He said, I'm very concerned. He said, because we now have a generation that doesn't know what it means to be in poverty. Now, truthfully, that's a great thing. But what he was saying was, they are not connecting the blessings that they have with something that God has done. You know, I've been to Haiti before, which was dedicated to pagan gods under the curse of voodoo and so forth. One of the most impoverished areas I've ever been, particularly in the Western Hemisphere. I guess it is the most impoverished. But you see what happens when the devil's in charge. But how does the devil shift things when people are in the land of blessing? By this very way. To disconnect the good things that are happening with the blessing of God. Let me just read a passage for you. You can jot this passage down out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 11, this is prior to the children of Israel going into the promised land. This is after God's telling them how he's going to bless them in a land full of milk and honey and houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant and all of that. He gives them a stern warning. And when Pastor Mariano told me, he said, we've now got a generation that doesn't know what it means to be impoverished. I understood where he was coming from. If they don't realize that every blessing in their life has come to them because of the blessing of God, there'll be a disconnect, and the enemy can get them into deception, doubt, fear, and unbelief, and then take them back toward poverty, one way or the other. Listen to the scripture out of Deuteronomy 8, verses 11 and following. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold. Notice that. When you get in there, your herds and flocks are going to multiply. And your, he says, and your silver and your gold are multiplied. When you get there, your silver and gold are going to be multiplied. That tells us God wants to bless us. You hear that? Your flocks and herds are multiplied. Your silver and gold are multiplied. Beware lest when all that you have is... Notice that. All that you have is multiplied. That's God's plan. When all you have is multiplied, when your... Here's the key. Your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of a flinty rock, and who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you, to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained this wealth. We lived in the most blessed nation on earth, I believe. But America... The blessings we enjoy were given us by God. Beware lest you forget where the good stuff has come from. Where the blessing and the prosperity and the multiplication has come from. And for us in our homes and our hearts and families, we've got to be careful we don't take things for granted. I'm telling you, that's one good reason to go on a mission trip, because you're reminded how blessed you are. And you see people passionate, full of joy, worshiping in the Lord, and don't know what running water is, or the sound of a flushing toilet. Or electricity in the room. you and I, and this is not a guilt trip here. This is a shake up, wake up. I mean, you and I could have been born there. That could be us. They're happy. They know the Lord. No matter where you're born, what you have, the only way you're going to have joy and sufficiency is in Christ. And how sad that we can be blessed so beautifully and bountifully and yet be spiritually impoverished as a nation. Because Europe and the U.S., you know, we're hearing more and more post-Christian. You're in the post-Christian era. Post-Christian era. That's just the picture of a nation founded by God, blessed by God, taking her trip and slowly seeing in the distance in the rearview mirror the land that God wrought and brought forth as we move away from the hand that's blessed us. May God revive our nation. May God revive our churches. May God revive our homes. May God revive our marriages. May God help us to be hungry and passionate. May we not be blinded by our blessings. Thank God for them. But they become blinders. And if they blind us, we'll start missing them because they'll start leaving us. Jesus warned the seven churches we heard several Sundays ago about He'll come and remove your lampstand. It's the blind side of being blessed. Not seeing the one who's wrought it, who's blessed us. As parents, we need to make sure our children know what it means to bow their knees and say their prayers to Almighty God. To bow our heads and thank Him for our food. To not let a day go by when they don't hear from the mouths of their family members gratitude expressed toward God. That's how we forget, by not remembering. Lastly, let me share about the faith of acting on what you know. And again, these are just a few high points that I wanted to share with you. That last evening in Zoar Church up the mountain, their pastor is Pastor Fernando. And so we arrived there a few minutes before the service, and we went to his house, and we sat and had a cup of coffee made from beans off the plants up the road. And they had some, he said, if you drink coffee with us, you had to eat this. It was like a little piece of coffee cake. Yum, yum. And then we started walking up the dirt road to church. He pulled me aside and said, let me show you something. We went down a little side trail, a little pig trail. He pointed up to a field. He said, you see those plastic pieces of plastic up there? I said, yeah, what is that? He said, those are graves. I said, oh, that's like a cemetery? He said, yes, but he said, only babies are buried here. And I said, there's a lot of them. How many you think? I said, are there 100? He said, oh, no, there's a lot more than 100. He said, I've been here 12 years. He said, I came, the Lord led me here to pastor's church. When I came here, lots of babies were dying and had been dying for some time. He said, they would be born dead. Or they would live a day or two or die. Some might live a week or two and die. He said, lots of them. All of our families have a baby out there, pretty much. I said, what happened? He said, well, he said, I began to pray and I realized that the families weren't getting what they needed. They were malnourished. So I started working and I made some connections and I got a vitamin program going and this supplement program going for pregnant mothers and for the children and families. He said, it hardly ever happens now. Said, hardly ever do we have a a little one? Do we lose a little one? You see, that really spoke to me because, and we should expect signs, wonders, and miracles, but sometimes we don't see them. But sometimes the way God does really big things is by using the little knowledge you already have. He just needs some faith put behind what you already know. That pastor said, you know, I became aware, you know, I came to know that their bodies needed something they weren't getting them. And so he put his faith in action, found a way for them to get those vitamins and supplements. And now there's little ones. That's Pastor Fernando in the middle there. Great guy. Love that guy. What a joy to minister there. That I took that picture at the end of the service as people were going, there's kids everywhere. Here is the worship team. And here's some little ones. As they crawled up in my lap at the end of the service, and one little boy kept coming back, wanted me to hold him. As we were worshiping, that service was ending. You can tell I'm hot and sweaty there. But I couldn't help but think, if that pastor had not said yes to God's call, and if that pastor hadn't acted on what knowledge he had about things, I might not be holding these youngins. They might be out there buried with those others. You never know the difference you might make in numbers of life by using what God has already given you. Sometimes we do things for missions around here. I'm telling you, you go and you see the difference it makes. It makes you want to be a better giver, a bigger giver. It makes me as pastor say, we want to give more. We want to do more. Because you can't outgive God. Put some faith into what you already know. Use what you already have and watch what God might do in and through your life. So God help us today. I want you to stand with me and just bow your heads a moment. Our worship team is coming. Now, Lord, I'm asking you right now to move on hearts in this room. I'm believing you've already been doing that. I ask, Lord, that you would rekindle a deeper passion in our hearts to engage you in worship, to embrace your word on a deeper level. Lord, I was so moved by the number of people I saw just weeping during worship, weeping during the preaching time, weeping during the ministry time. Lord, may there be that kind of passion birthed in our heart. I pray, Lord, that you would begin to stir our hearts to be those workers that enter the harvest. Lord, to take our prayer to a new level of praying for missions and ministries that are invading new territories, that are reaching the unreached and so forth. I pray, dear Lord, that from our neighbor to the nations, that our hearts would burn to see people fall in love with Jesus Christ. I pray, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would press in for those rhema words and use them like weapons in our hands and make those godly decrees. That we would each walk in the level and sphere of anointing you've given us. Lord, I believe Grace House is to be an apostolic hub, a center where there's governmental anointing that affects this region. And Lord, we don't make that boast with any pride, but just in response to prophetic words and things we've seen and what we sense your Spirit saying. So we say, yes, Lord, you are raising up an apostolic center of activity. Lord, you are raising up a band of prophetic intercessory warriors. You are raising up strong prophetic gifting, strong evangelistic gifting, strong pastoral gifting, strong teaching gifting, strong evangelistic giftings, Lord. We decree and declare that the strong men in this region will be brought to their knees And we are asking, Lord, that glory that's beyond the wall of fire, within the wall of fire, that wall would spread out around this region, that the enemy couldn't stand the heat in God's kitchen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would turn up the fiery zeal, the fiery passion, the fear of the Lord in the house of the Lord. May these be days, dear God, when we're humbled to walk in the house of the Lord, when we count it a privilege to worship you, Lord God Almighty, when the blazing fire of the Holy Ghost is moving on people, stirring them to repentance. People are being healed in the middle of songs. People are being set free as the prophetic words released. Father, may it be so. We declare it to be so in the name of above every name, the name of Jesus. And, oh God, we repent for being blind to our blessings. Forgive us, oh Father. Forgive us for taking you for granted. Forgive us for not naming our blessings and counting them one by one. For feeling entitled. For demanding to be entertained. For thinking that you can't move if we don't sing. If we don't sing our song, or if we don't hear our sound, or if we don't do it our way. Oh God, we just repent of all and say we want to do it your way. Whatever that way is, Lord, we want to do it your way, oh God. Deliver us from ourselves. Oh, Father of heaven, stretch forth your hand that with mighty deeds and signs and wonders and miracles that you would make known the mighty power of your Son and servant, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come, Spirit of God, move upon this people this morning. Birth in us the fire of hunger for revival, oh God. I ask for that today. Sweet Spirit, oh heavenly dove, move in our midst now in Jesus' name. This altar is open if you need to pray, if you have a need. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to be here to pray with you. Just whatever God wants to do, let's just let him do it. And, you know, we're not going to handcuff anybody here this morning. You stay as long as you'd like to stay. But we're just going to spend some time right now just welcoming the Holy Spirit to move on our hearts. In Jesus' name, let's just worship. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus.